Lecture 41, The Renaissance Problem.
Hello again, and welcome to lecture number 41 in our series on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture is entitled, The Renaissance Problem. Okay, what's the problem? I mean, doesn't everyone know that after 1,000 years of darkness and gloom and despair and barbarism, Europe awakened in a blaze of glory that we call the Renaissance? We all know that, don't we? Well, actually, as always, it's not quite so simple. If that's what you know, then over the next 30 minutes, I hope to help you unknow that. And maybe know some other things as well, or maybe know that a little bit differently. We might in the first place notice that our three-part division of Western civilization, ancient, medieval, modern, is itself the product of a particular place and time. And we're going to talk about that place and time in this lecture. But it is not an eternal verity. It is not something that Moses came down from Sinai with on his tablets. We might notice, and you'll remember perhaps in the last lecture that we talked about the world of Renaissance Europe. We talked about Europe in the 14th to 15th century, sort of sketching in our background. Now, people would have noticed a lot of important things going on then, but they would not, any more than, for example, the people in late antiquity, about whom we spoke in earlier lectures, they would not have been aware of any abrupt change. They didn't realize that somehow the medieval world had yielded to the dawning modern world. Medieval people, for all of that, didn't know they were medieval. They didn't have a sense of themselves as inferior, weak, backward, impoverished. For example, in the time of Charlemagne, his great friend Alcuin, remember we met him as sort of the secretary of education in the Carolingian period. Alcuin spoke of a new Rome that was rising in Francia. He was referring in particular to Charlemagne's palace complex in the city of Aachen. He referred to a new Rome that was rising in Francia that was finer than the Rome of old, because whereas the one of old had absorbed Athens, this new Rome had added Jerusalem. A symbol for Christianity, of course. Now, one of the things that's interesting here is the way this particular point of view conveys a sense of continuity. It's also interesting to notice that here is a point of view that evinces a certain sense of superiority with respect to the ancients. Or at any rate, it certainly doesn't yield pride of place to them. Now, in the 12th century, Bernard of Chartres, who was one of the most famous teachers of that time, but like some other famous teachers in history, wrote almost nothing. So virtually everything we know about him comes from reminiscences by his pupils. But one of his pupils reports to us that Bernard was fond of saying, "We are as dwarfs seated on the shoulders of giants, that we might see more and further than they, yet not in virtue of the keenness of our eyesight or the breadth of our vision, but alone because we are raised aloft on that giant mass." Now, we could seize on this and say, you see, Bernard is admitting they weren't very original. Well, there is some truth in that. There's also some truth in Bernard's awareness of rhetorical conventions, and this is what's called a modesty topos. Oh, we are not so great, we owe it all to those who came before us. This is a literary convention to which we shouldn't pay very much attention. Pay more attention to the fact that he says we see more and further than they. Once again, a sense of continuity. A sense of continuity, no abrupt ruptures here, and a sense of superiority. Now, if you've ever wondered where that old cliche came from about the dwarf seated on the shoulders of giants, here it is. Now, the idea that there had been somehow a very serious change somewhere in what we might call the late Middle Ages, somewhere in sort of the 14th or 15th century. And we should say, after all, that the term Middle Ages is invented by a Dutchman by the name of Christoph Kelder in the 17th century. But the idea that there was a change in sort of the late Middle Ages, which yields this phenomenon that we might call the Renaissance, can perhaps be attributed to various statements of people at that time. For instance, listen to these words by Matteo Palmieri, who wrote about 1430.